Well, we are joined on the phone now by Beryl Singleton Bissell. She lives in Schroeder, and she is an author. Her first memoir is called The Scent of God, and it was a highly acclaimed memoir about her first part of her life. And the book we're going to speak with her about this evening is called A View of the Lake. Hi, Beryl.
Hi there.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Nice to be talking with you.
Well, I'm so glad you could join us. We wanted to talk to local folks about the things you're doing, and really wanted to hear about your book. It's been on my list. So now your book, A View of the Lake, was published by Lake Superior Port Cities, the same group that publishes Lake Superior Magazine, last year, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the roots of the book, is it fair to say that they come from the column that you wrote for the Cook County News Herald?
Yes, actually, it was going to be a book of columns at first, but then Lake Superior Magazine said it would read better as a memoir. So I restructured the whole thing, added bits, to make an interesting, well-structured memoir.
Well, and it is. I like how it's organized by the seasons and so forth. And it starts out with you and your husband, Bill, moving to the North Shore in 1998. How did you decide to make that leap?
It was a spontaneous, impulsive move. We were up here, and we stopped at a house that had a sign that said, for sale by owner. We went down the driveway and fell in love with a piece of property. As a matter of fact, we fell in love with the driveway because we hadn't even seen the lake yet. And we left a check, and now we're here.
So it wasn't thought out too.
No, we hadn't. We had been up here twice, really, and that was it. So we knew nothing about life up here. But
so why? What grabbed you?
The view, the lake, and also I had been here for a writer's retreat at Norcroft, and I came at the height of the fall season. It was exquisite. And the whole time I was here, I kept thinking, oh, Bill would just love it here. We have to come up here. So we did. We stayed at a little fisherman's cabin. And on the way home, we passed this house for sale by owner.
Oh. And that's in Schroeder where you live now?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So you've been here since 1998, let's see, 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find to be most surprising about living here when you first got here?
The changes that took place in myself. I had been a rather uninvolved community member prior to moving here, and then it was a visit to the post office, actually, where I overheard somebody talking about the Schroeder Area Historical Society, and it so tickled me that I thought we have 180 people in this township, and I thought this is so interesting, so I joined. And volunteered to help in whatever way I could. And they took me up on the offer, and within a week, I discovered that I had been appointed oral history chair and chair of the marketing and publicity committees, and I wasn't even on the board yet.
Now, you've got a section in your book about the Schroeder Historical Society. Would you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah, I certainly would.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Great.
This takes place after the visit and when I found out that I was head of the oral history chair. As I struggled to develop my list of people to interview, the calendar dropped days like overripe berries. I wondered how best to convince these old-time residents that I could be trusted with their stories. I wish that someone had done this years earlier, when time was not so critical, when the first settlers were still alive and their children were not aging so rapidly. I wanted the people on my list to become more than names, their experiences, their dreams, their wisdom, an essential part of community folklore from which future generations could draw. Well, I couldn't have chosen a better way to become part of a community than collecting these oral histories. Rather than being referred to only as that newcomer, I was invited into the homes of longtime residents to share tea, gather stories, and look at family albums. The oral histories I recorded and helped to transcribe, however, cannot fill the gap left by the unrecorded lives of those who had already died. We can speak authentically only of what we ourselves have experienced. oral histories for this reason focus on first-person recollection. Children cannot tell their parents' stories. We are born, we die, we do what others do. Some of the elders I interviewed wondered why I wanted to know about their lives when they'd been so uneventful. In the telling, they came to a fresh appreciation of themselves and the community in which they've lived such a long time. Like a musical score played over and over again, the sound, timing, and interpretation are never quite the same. The end.
That's lovely. So you mentioned that the lake really drew you in, but I bet the people have had a profound effect as well.
Yes, it was, you know, that surprising factor in which becoming part of a community of closely linked people and getting to know all my neighbors and loving them all and finding the rich resources within this community that really bound me to a place. It made Schroeder home.
Mm-hmm. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Beryl Singleton Bissell. She lives in Schroeder, and she recently wrote A View of the Lake, which was published last year by Lake Superior Port Cities Publishing. Beryl, how does the Big Lake and its surroundings affect your writing? Tell us a little bit about your writing practice.
Well, can you think of a better place to write?
No.
I know when I moved up here, I could no longer say I worked for a publishing company, and people always wanted to know what I was doing, what I worked at. And we had come up here primarily, one of the reasons, besides loving the lake, my husband made me promise that I would finish the book I was working on. He really believed in my writing skills. And so I did eventually, after many years of total commitment to the Historical Society and learning all about the fauna and the flora of the area, I finally went back to writing the book.
And that was The Scent of God?
The Scent of God, right. But meanwhile, I had to say I was a writer. That's all I could say because I was working on this book. And I couldn't say I'd ever published anything. So the opportunity arose for me to suggest a column for the Cook County News Herald. And it was accepted, and I started writing a weekly column called actually it started out as Newcomer Notes, and then it became Putting Down Roots. And I did that for 10 years, and I had, you know, quite a lovely fan base and got lots of letters to the editor. The person I worked for at Milkweed, the editor down there, she loved the columns, and she suggested I turn them into a book. And so that's what really triggered the whole writing career up here,
mm-hmm.
Was first writing the columns, which strengthened my writing skills. I had 500 words. I had to say something that was going to make an impact. And it also taught me to look. You know, when you have a column coming up every week, you have eyeballs all over your head trying to find things that would be interesting for people to read about and that maybe they had never seen in quite the way that you've seen them.
Mm-hmm. So. I remember those columns. I liked them.
Yeah, thank you.
They were a different perspective.
Yes.
So what are you working on right now? Because I know you're a writer and you're writing some more.
Well, I'm actually writing the book that most people have been waiting for, which is the sequel to The Scent of God. And I work really hard on my writing. It takes a lot of time. And it took me 10 years to really write and complete The Scent of God. And it looks like this book is going to take just as long. But it's really almost, it's in its final shaping form. I'm just trying to tighten the structure mm-hmm. and to, to entice agents and publishers to want to publish it. So.
Well, Beryl, where can people find A View of the Lake?
Oh, they can find the View of the Lake at Birch Bark Books and Drury Lane Books and probably the state parks and places. I know some state parks have them and some gift shops have them, but basically up in Grand Marais, they can get them right from the little bookstores in town, or they can order them directly from any bookstore, you know, throughout the country, or they can order them directly from Lake Superior Port Cities, Inc. publishers. And they'll get a signed copy then, which is nice. So
that's right. And we're also, I don't know if you heard us say earlier, we are also giving away a copy of your book. The publisher provided one to us for a pledge of $50 or higher.
Oh, wonderful. So, I hope you get a pledge.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Beryl. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
No, it's just a privilege to be on your show and to be part of this wonderful fundraising effort for WTIP. I remember I wasn't too long ago I wrote an article for Lake Superior Magazine on the little radio station.
That's right. You wrote that.
Yeah, I did.
We were really happy about that article. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we appreciate you joining us tonight, and best of luck with this book and the next one.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Beryl.
Bye-bye.